Welcome back. Let's communicate to win. Let's talk about how we handle the heckler. There are hecklers in every aspect of the communication, influence, and persuasion process. And the way you handle a heckler will make or break you, will make a big difference in your success or your failure. You can be heckled one-on-one. You can be heckled in the boardroom. You can be heckled by bankers in large group meetings, knocking on a door, and a cold calling, calling on the phone. You will find hecklers. So the question of the day is, how do you handle the heckler? Now, what it could be is, again, someone trying to annoy you, make you look bad. The way you handle a heckler will make or break you. Sometimes it's out of pure venom. They want to make you look bad. A lot of heckling, though, is just out of cluelessness. The way I rate it, if someone's on a cell phone or a crying baby or anything like that, that could be heckling. In fact, in the political world, they actually call it bracketing. They send people to heckle. Some people it helps, some people it hurts. It depends on how you handle it. I think it goes back to our childhood and asking ourselves, why do people heckle? So when you were growing up, why did you tease your brothers and sisters or neighbors? What was your goal? Your goal was to get a reaction. If nobody reacted to your teasing, you just stopped. They are heckling you. Because think about it, if you've ever been in an audience and someone from the audience threw a real zinger at the speaker, you're kind of sitting back as an audience going, yeah, I wonder what they're going to do next. It's kind of fun as an audience. Not so fun when you're the speaker, but again, the way you handle that's important. I think one of the famous examples is Ronald Reagan was being heckled for his age. His opponent said, look, you're old. And he just smiled and said, you know what, I'm not going to make my opponent's youth and inexperience an issue in this race. And everybody smiled, everybody laughed, and they moved on. Because if you look tense, if you look mean, if you look like it's bothering you, if you expose your middle finger, you have lost your audience. That's the reality. So this is important to understand how your audience is going to react to you. Now, for the most part, your audience is on your side. If someone gets way out of control, they're going to support you, and they're there for a reason. They're paying with their time or their money, but you have to be very careful not to slam a heckler. For example, if a young lady has a baby that's crying and maybe she can't hear it, she's immune, it's bothering the whole audience, and as a presenter, you just go up to her and you just yell, well, shut the baby up! It's driving everybody nuts! Now, you think about that for a second. I said what you were thinking, but now I'm the bad person. There are different ways to handle this. A lot of the times, the audience can handle it. But be very careful not to slam anybody. I remember talking to a presenter. He was talking to a large corporate audience. There was an elderly gentleman drunk, was heckling. He says, why don't you leave? You're not listening anyway. And this gentleman left. And so did everyone else because it was the CEO. Have to be careful. I remember doing a webinar once with, it was over 100 people. And this lady, right in the beginning, the first 5-10 minutes, very vindictive, very venomous, said, you know what? I speak for the whole class. When I don't want to hear what you're talking about right now, I want to talk about this. Now, my natural reaction was to slam her, to put her in her place. But if you do that, whether it's one-on-one, whether you do that in front of a group, you lose all credibility. So what I did was very simple. I said, I appreciate your input. Class, what do you think? So I turfed it over to the class, and guess what they said? Yeah, they said, no, Kirk, continue on. But they also called her the B word. There was some profanity there, and they told her to hang up and never come back. Which I wanted to say that too, but I couldn't. Which she did hung up, and it was great for everyone. But again, but when you're in charge, when you're the presenter, you can't say that. I remember giving a presentation once, and there's this man there with this young girl, and they were kind of flirting, and I didn't know any better. And then the wife showed up. Yeah. And she was mad and yelling and screaming and everything. And you have to think, okay, how are you going to handle that? Because when there's a fire alarm or something goes wrong, people are going to look to the presenter. And the only way I could handle that situation was to look at him and have him leave the room. And of course she followed, but it could be a variety of things, from cell phones to people talking too loud to asking the wrong questions. And so we're going to really help you understand how to do this. And it happens quite a bit one-on-one. And even in the corporate world, do you think coworkers will heckle you to try to make you look bad? Is that possible? All the time. And the way you handle that will make or break you. So let's go over some stages of heckling, some different ways you can handle the heckler. And to help you realize that heckling's more likely to happen if they don't like you, or they want their deal to look better, they might want to make you look bad. Also, if you ever speak in the evening time, I know a lot with network marketers and others do these late night meetings. Hecklers come out more in the evening. They come out more if there's a lot of alcohol served, especially if there's a free bar. A heavy dinner like steak and gravy will bring them out. They will be there, and it will happen. I remember I was actually talking to a student at a university, and she's telling about a professor. And this student was heckling the professor. And the professor was turning red, and the professor finally said, "Look, you're wrong because of this, this, and this." And the student just sat back. You know, the student was just playing with her. And the student sat back and says, "Geez, don't have a cow." And the professor lit up and says, "I don't have a cow. I'm a full PhD, and you're nothing. I'll always be smarter than you." Now, whether that's true or not, it really doesn't matter, because now in the eyes of the class, how do they look at this professor? Wasn't professional. And whether it's true or not, it didn't matter. Whether he deserved it or not, didn't matter. You're persuaders. You're in control. It's not getting to you. And of course, every time they went to this class, they all remember this moment, and it tainted the whole semester. So a heckler could be venomous comments, you know, how you handle those. It could be an attack on you or your ideas or your mom. You're in control, and it's not bothering you. So let's go through some stages here. Stage one is just a minor heckle. What could be happening here? Maybe they're on their cell phone. Maybe they're throwing some tough questions at you. Maybe they resent you for what you're trying to do. And it goes back to just kind of kicking the dog. Again, most heckling is clueless. And so if it's the first time and not that big of a deal, you smile, you look at them, and you just ignore it. Because if it's a clueless heckle, they'll probably realize, especially, well, the ones with social filters will realize that they're annoying, or their cell phone bothered everybody, or if they fell asleep, their snoring's bothering everyone. You just smile and can ignore it. Or at this time, you can respond with humor, because humor's your best friend here, because that shows that it's not bothering you. It gets the audience to smile and laugh. Now, you don't want to necessarily throw them a zinger and throw them under the bus, but a little humor about the situation can go a long way. Remember, they're teasing you. They want attention, and they want a reaction. And just take it. Smile. And if it's really way out in left field, just kind of ignore it. Exercise control. But for the most part, I'd say almost probably 78% of the time, that's all you need to do is let them know, you know, that wasn't appropriate, kind of with a smile or with your eyes, respond with some humor, and then it's not getting to you. Now, if that doesn't work, you can go to stage two. Stage two, they're getting a little more aggressive. And what can you do? Now, a big part when you get stage two, when they're getting a little more aggressive, is one thing that does increase heckling is when they're anonymous. And you want to reduce anonymity here. Okay? Have them introduce themselves, what company they're from, what their name is. That will reduce heckling. When they're anonymous out there, a lot of times it's much easier for them to heckle. Another thing you can do with them is pull them aside at the break. If you need to take a break, or pull them aside and say, "Is there something I done wrong? You're obviously upset with me. What's going on?" Have a talk. And for most people, that's enough to get it out in the open, and they can just kind of vent, and you can respond to whatever it is. Sometimes in stage two, you can let them know that you're listening to what they're saying. You can let them vent if it doesn't distract the whole audience. And one thing you can do here, if you know you're going to a meeting or to some place where there's going to be a heckler, you can ask somebody to make sure they're not going to be there, because they could hurt the whole presentation. And that's a possibility. Now, every once in a while, you might get to stage three where they're very aggressive. And this is where the audience doesn't like this person anymore. So it doesn't really matter if you slam them here. You might want to confront them. You might want to call security. But you have to make sure the audience is on your side. You can look at the spouse sometimes. You probably won't need that so much. I mean, the main thing I want to talk about here is you're in control. It's not getting to you. When you go to somebody's home and it's going into foreclosure, they'll probably throw zingers at you. They'll probably heckle you. At a bank or, again, in the corporate world, this is happening all over the place. What about family reunions? Is that possible? Yeah. It's a self-esteem thing sometimes where if they push you down, they feel better about themselves. I've said it time and time again, especially in negotiation, you're checking your ego in at the door. They have issues. Don't let them make their issues your issues. It's not getting to you. Even if it does, don't show them. That's what they want. Because if you show them that it's getting to you, it will definitely increase. And there's, of course, some things you'd never, ever want to say to a heckler. Something like, well, you wouldn't understand. Which you're basically saying is, you're stupid, right? That's not going to help out the situation. Or you might say, well, it's none of your business. What does that mean to them? It's none of your business. And it cuts them off. It kind of puts them on the outside. That doesn't help at all. Another one that's bad is, well, what do you want me to do about it? That's kind of a cop-out. That's sarcastic. One of the worst ones that I've heard is, well, why don't you calm down? What does that say to people? Yeah, they're out of control. It's not something, whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter. Whether it makes you feel better about things, it doesn't matter. One thing we hear too is people say, well, what's your problem? Why are you so angry? Why are you losing it? It's not going to help the situation. And another one is, why don't you be reasonable? Tell them that they're irrational, out of control, or not being reasonable are all part of understanding hecklers. As a presenter, again, whether it's one-on-one, in the boardroom, in front of a group, you're in control. If something goes wrong, they're going to blame you. And we could talk about some different things here, but I've had, and you'll see these too, a baby crying, somebody having a heart attack, fire alarm going off. If the coffee's bad or the food's bad, who are they going to blame? If the temperature's too hot or too cold, they're going to blame you. If somebody's talking on a cell phone, they're going to come to you. Remember, you are in control. When that fire alarm goes off, or I've had a lot of strange things happening. When you do presentations in a hotel, wow, I've had a polka band next door. I've had a beautiful room overlooking the garden, but then a wedding starts. It's hard to keep people's attention. I remember teaching an event in San Francisco, and this beautiful young lady comes in this bikini. Everyone just turned, and she's all, hey, can I learn? Sure, come on in. I don't know what you say to that, but things will happen. Things will go wrong, and that's okay. Not that you want it to happen. I don't think I've ever given a perfect presentation, had everything go perfectly, and that's going to be true for you. You go with the flow, you go with the punches, you go with your audience. Some audiences are easier than others. Some are really hard. When I talk to a group of stockbrokers, do you think they're easier or harder than a group of network marketers? Much harder, much different. They're not going to respond as much. They're not going to laugh as much. They're not going to ask me more questions, and that's okay. You still do your best. You need to learn how to deal with those difficulties. Keep things in perspective. Don't get flustered. The bulbs are going to burn out. Your PowerPoint's going to freeze. If you're using a PowerPoint, you always keep an extra printout because it will freeze. It will crash. The bulbs will go out. Don't get upset. Don't get flustered. You just keep things in perspective. And remember that they're just not going to listen with their whole heart and minds every time. You have to compete with the environment, the temperature, the national news. It could even be the contents of their stomach. Maybe they're hungry. Maybe they're upset. Maybe they can't hear you. Maybe they're on drugs. Maybe they're hormones like teenagers. Maybe I've had jackhammers going off outside. It could be a lack of ventilation. Maybe a phone ringing, things going wrong. All these things could happen. So you need to make sure that you give them breaks every probably at least 60 minutes. Because you probably heard the phrase before that the mind can only absorb what the seat can endure. I don't know if you heard that before. They might need caffeine. They might need a cigarette. They might need to go to the restroom. That does affect their ability to concentrate, to listen to you. Because if they can't listen, if they can't pay attention, they're very difficult to persuade. I remember doing a presentation. This was really early in my career, and I had a bad slot. It was a group of, I think, of about 1,000 chiropractors, and my slot was during dinner. Do you think that was a difficult presentation? It's hard to compete with roast beef and clanking, and they're talking. They want more food and get drinks, and the waiter's walking around, and you do the best you can. It's better than nothing, but you have to control your environment. You have to deal with the difficulties. The main lesson here, doesn't matter what aspect of influence it is, one-on-one, over the phone, at their door, boardroom, in groups, people will heckle you. And the way you deal with their questions, their objections, their venom, their zingers will go a long way. Because if they can get under your skin, make you upset, get a reaction, you're going to get more and you've lost your ability to influence. So you have to just smile, use a little humor, don't let it get to you, and you'll see a big difference in your ability to influence, especially when you're dealing with highly emotional issues, highly emotional negotiations. You will see more heckling. Because remember, with negotiation, that the person that strikes first admits their ideas have given out. And so when they strike at you or say, well, that's not fair of you, or make fun of your mother, or just they don't know what to do next. They get very emotional. Remember, when you get emotional, the blood leaves the brain. That also increases heckling. So what I want you to work on is very simple this week. Don't let anyone push your buttons. In any situation, you stay in control. Keep all emotional control. So when you stay in control, it's not bothering you and you're keeping your emotions in check. If you really want to get brave, put yourself in a situation that does make you tense, or be around someone that does push your buttons. Because if you can do it in that situation, when you're in an intense negotiation, or you're at someone's door over the phone or in a group, it'll be much easier to do it in that situation when you've done it before. Remember, it's when you need to persuade someone, it's too late to learn. When you need to stay in control, you need to learn how to do that. So I know you have family members that push your buttons. I know you have coworkers that push your buttons. Put yourself in the situation. Have a little fun with it. Let them throw their zingers at you. Let them do this. And you're going to notice that after a while, they're not going to do it. But it's going to teach you to stay in control. You're not showing emotions. You're not getting angry. And that's a skill of power persuaders, especially those that present and communicate for a living. Your ability to handle a heckler is a big, big part of your success.